In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of a very special saint, not only because she is the patroness of the sisterhood, but because she was an amazing woman, but she lived, in some respects, an ordinary life. She was a wife, she was a mother, she had 13 kids. But she also experienced great trials throughout her life. Of her 13 kids, four sons and two daughters died in infancy, and one son was murdered in adulthood by one of her servants, because as her life recounts, the devil had stirred up enmity between the two of them. So she was not unfamiliar with grief, and when her son was murdered, she was ready to go to a convent and spend the rest of her life. She really wanted to be done with the life that she had had. She actually wanted to be a nun rather than get married in the first place, but she was prevailed upon to marry by her family, and so she did so. And when she talked about going to a convent, her husband reminded her of the admonitions that the priest had given them at their wedding and what marriage meant. And he said, "We can be saved living in the world, and we can be lost in a monastery. Our situation doesn't determine our salvation." And she again obediently obeyed her husband, and she remained in the home and continued to take care of her children and her family. She ran a house. She had many servants to take care of. She was really the hub of the wheel of a very busy home. But the point that I think we should take from her life is that she did not become a saint despite everything that she had to go through. She became a saint by going through all the things that she had to go through. As a matter of fact, I think if you read, I can't think of any life of any saint where them going through difficulties and trials was not part of their life. That's how we become saints. And objecting to that is sort of like someone who's got cancer and the doctor says you're going to have to go through chemotherapy, and you say, "Well, I don't want to go through that because that doesn't sound very pleasant." Well, yeah, it's not very pleasant. But that's what's necessary for you to cure the disease. And the difficulties that God gives us are medicines that are specially designed for us. Each one of us has our own cross in this life, and it's designed to deal with the disease of sin that we have. And so we can be unhappy, we can be angry at God and those around us because we go through these things, or we can say, "Let me take the medicine that I need and apply it to my salvation." St. Paul in the book of Acts talked to the people that he was discipling about the meaning of suffering. And to understand what he said, you need to understand what happened right before this happened. This is from Acts chapter 14, beginning with verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." So if you're reading fast and you're not paying attention, you might not really be struck by what you just heard. But St. Paul was stoned, and the Jews thought that they had stoned him to death. And it may very well have been the case. We don't really know. But they thought he was dead. They drug him out of the city, probably some dump, and the Christians gathered around him and probably prayed over him, and God was merciful and healed him, and he was able to get up and walk away from that, which is not something that would naturally be done. If you had been stoned, hit with big rocks, until people around you thought that you were dead, you wouldn't usually get up and walk away from that. And then it says, "And when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So that's what you need to hear out of this. He's exhorting the people in this town that he's coming to. He's exhorting them to continue in the faith. And he says that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. The word that's translated tribulation there could be translated as afflictions. It could be translated as sufferings. But it's the kind of stuff that nobody wants to go through. But he's saying that it's through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. So if we reject the things, the tribulations that God sends to us, we're really rejecting our pathway into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord, on the eve of his passion, said to his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So what the Lord is saying to them, and he's telling them he's getting ready to be crucified. And he's telling them about all the things that he's going to have to endure, and he talks to some extent about the things that they're going to have to endure. But he says, "I'm telling you all these things so that you can have peace." Well, what kind of peace is he talking about? He's not talking about peace in the sense of having an easy life and no problems. He's talking about a peace that's in here. This is a peace in which you're in a right relationship with God and you don't have to worry about the consequences of what happens from day to day because you know that God is in control and you just have, all you're responsible for is being obedient. Beyond that, the results are up to God. But he says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The Lord has overcome the world. So all the things that we see around us, we live in a very strange time, no doubt about it. There's lots of crazy things that we hear about in the news all the time. But we need to be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. It doesn't matter what evil people try to do. All we have to be is be obedient and follow Christ, and it's going to all be okay. Doesn't mean it's going to all be peaceful in terms of our surroundings around us. Doesn't mean we're not going to have any difficulties, but it does mean that we're going to win and that we can have peace in the midst of the storm. The Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter ye at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate and hard is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the highway to the kingdom of heaven is a difficult road. And you should not get discouraged, because if you're on a difficult road and you're following Christ, that means you're heading in the right direction. In Psalm 33, which we hear at the end of every liturgy, we hear a little bit about tribulation there too. It says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my tribulation. Come unto me and be enlightened, and your faces shall not be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his tribulations." Now, you might take that to mean that God saved him out of all of his tribulations by keeping him from being in tribulation, but that's not what it means. God saved him in the midst of all his tribulations. And further on in the Psalms, it says, "Many are the tribulations of the righteous, and the Lord shall deliver them out of them all." Many are the tribulations of the righteous. We're going to have these kinds of problems in our life. We're going to go through difficult times. But God is going to go there with us and get us through it. God does indeed deliver us from all our tribulations, but he does so by enabling us to overcome those tribulations, not by avoiding them. Amen.